I'd like to start from reading 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. So, sorry, guys. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So, if you've memorized all your Greek, it's no good to you then. Right, Don? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, and who is that? Jesus. Then that which is in part will be done away. So a lot of things are going to be passed away. One of the things that it doesn't say there is friendship. It doesn't say friendship will pass away. All your friends will be gone. It doesn't say that there. And you would wonder why it doesn't. Well, it's because Jesus calls us friends. In John 15:11, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be made full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Thank you, brother. Thanks. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Just need a little chapstick now. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not just as you have loved yourself, but as he had loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And almost everyone knows what it's like to have a friend. We're taught to have friends. Did you know that? We go into kindergarten, and the parents ask the kids when they come back home, did you make any friends? What were they like? And what are the expectations? I may not say those exact words, but it's communicated in one way, shape, or form. Friendship is universal across all cultures, all languages, throughout mankind. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. There's something about the word of the Lord comes through to us, and it has no other recourse but to bring forth fruit. Bring forth the fruit that it's ordained to do. No longer do I call you servants. Aren't you glad he said that? I could even change that and say, no longer do I call you slaves. No longer I call you underlings. No longer do I call you deplorables, whatever. For a servant does not know his master's doing. There's something in God that he wants us to know that slaves cannot know, servants cannot know. Because they're so concerned about just doing the letter of the law. They're so concerned about doing the list of things that they need to do. You wake up in the morning. What do I need to do today? Am I the only one that does that? Yeah, okay. Well, Jesus says, well, we're going to like die to that. But I have called you friends. This boggles my mind. For all things that I've heard from my Father. Now, Jesus is saying everything that he's heard from his Father, I have made known to you. Are you kidding? It seemed like his disciples were lost most of the time. How can he say that? Well, he can say that because he is the exact representation of the Father. He himself, Jesus. I love the word that Paul brought last Sunday. It was so good that the Holy Spirit is what is amazing. Of the presence of God in our midst. So the Lord says, that Father in heaven says, I need my representation on earth. Here is my Son, whom I'm well pleased, Jesus. And Jesus goes to the Father and says, I need my representation on earth too. And he pours down the Holy Spirit. By the way, there's no measuring cup for the Holy Spirit. He baptizes, like overflows. I have made known to you, but you did not choose me. Oh, we think we're so smart. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And the fruit won't be just for a season. It's going to be something that's going to be good for a long, long time. It should remain. And whatever you ask in the name of God, in the Father, in my name, he will give to you. These things I have commanded you, that you love one another. So his love and his friendship is automatically translated to love for each other. What comes first? The love to your friends or the love to the God? what the children should be learning when they come back from kindergarten is not how many friends they have in kindergarten, but how is your friendship with Jesus? He is first. You can't really have friends. Seriously, you can't really know friends until you've known the friendship of our Lord. And we as adults know that, but children are not even taught that. Why not? Some of us, you know, teach our children there's a Santa Claus, and then one day they wake up and find there isn't any, and they're very disappointed that there isn't a Santa Claus, but they're even more disappointed that you try to trick them. Or they should be. Maybe you should say to them, you know, friends will fail you, Johnny, but your Lord Jesus will never fail you. Maybe we should teach them about the friendship of Christ. And how do you teach them? By you having a friendship with Christ. By you reaching out to them with mercy and understanding. Now let me tell you something about friendship. Friendship has components. So what is friendship anyway, right? And a lot of people can say, yeah, I had friends and every one of them let me down. How about your high school friends? How many of them have let you down? How many of them do you even remember? How about college? Same thing. How about work experiences? You have friends almost for a season, it seems. And then you move on or they move on. It happens in church. There are a lot of people that are not here. They're going to be with the Lord or they left. It's not so much important what they, how they acted. It's how you acted, reacted to them that makes friendship happen. So there's a, number one, it's a purposeful affection. Friendship is purposeful affection. It's not transient. It's like, yeah, you're my friend. I used to say hello to that person in the hallway. The casual friendship. Now, friendship is more than that. It's purposeful. There's an affection. And it should be that way. Don't greet one another. It doesn't say greet one another with a, hi, how are you, and walk away. It says greet one another with a holy kiss. I dare you with your mask on. Okay, number two. Let's go on from there. We identify with our friends, and our friends identify with us. While we have them, I can remember some of my high school friends. I couldn't wait to go play basketball with them, or I couldn't wait to go fishing with them, and they couldn't wait to go fishing with me either. There's friendship there's a codependency there. We identify with who they are and what they are and what they're doing, whether you want to or not. We take on some of their mannerisms. We take on some of their habits. I had a friend after I was going to college, and he used to smoke pot. Oh, well, not a habit I would want to have today. But I did it because he was a friend. Number three, this new commandment that Jesus gives to us, that we would love one another, and this love has to come almost universally in the New Testament. It says, I have loved you, also love one another. That friendship cannot, in the New Testament, in biblical sense, happen outside of your love relationship with Christ, outside of your friendship with Christ. How can that ever happen? Well, by faith. Because a lot of things you do irritate me. Maybe it's the way you comb your hair. Maybe it's, you know, the way you don't really greet me like I think you should. Maybe it's the way you greet other people like I think you should. Maybe. But friendship has its root in our love with Christ and that worshipful relationship with God. When that happens, I'm not so concerned about how you react or how you behave. I begin to pray for you. I begin to be concerned for you. Purposefully, I want to do it. Not because I have something in me that's so wonderful, but it's by the faith that we have in the Word of God, which says this, that we can do it. In our own strength, we are not able to step up to the plate and say, I'm going to make this friendship a home run. It'll fail every time if you're in your own strength. And that's what Brad was saying. A lot of things we try to do on our own strength, and we're going to utterly and completely fail. And even if we have things that we can brag about that we've accomplished, they're nothing before God. So first God, that's the thing. The friendship in the Bible is always first God. Think you can do that? I think you can. I wouldn't be preaching this morning if you couldn't. I wouldn't be preaching this morning if this wasn't Bible. You know, David has a lot of, the life of David has a lot of metaphors and things that he did that we can relate to today in this concern regarding friendship and his love to God. His life started as a shepherd boy. He didn't have much to go with and probably didn't even have any pocket money. Maybe, but I don't know. Probably that was all his dad's. His dad gave him the food to bring to his brothers. And when he went there, his brother said, "Oh, shouldn't your siblings be your friends too?" "Well, not so much there." He said, "You're just here to see the fighting and the blood. We know you." Well, that's what they only knew their own heart. They didn't know David's heart. It's not to say those things weren't in David, but David, that isn't why David was there. David was there because of obedience to his dad. But one thing David did throughout his entire life was worship the Lord. Now, I don't know that there's any real references to that happening when he was shepherding the sheep, but I suspect that he did. When he slayed the bear and the whatever else, the lion, I'm sure there was a worshipful heart, if nothing else. Like, "Thank you, Lord." When God rescues you from certain death and danger, aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad he's your friend? When you're in an automobile accident and you realize the only thing that's wounded is your car and you are safe, you're really thankful to the Lord. I don't know, you can be thankful to all the things they put in protection in a car, but I'm thankful to the Lord. How about you guys? Yeah. I mean, I need a little feedback here, okay? All right, thanks, Tim. David says this. He says, "I long for the courts of the Lord." And that's in Psalm 84:10. He says, "Better is one day than 1,000 elsewhere." There is a place we need to go. And I like that metaphor. It's like friendship isn't just an idea. Love affair with God isn't just an idea. It's a place. It's a place that what? God himself dwells in the place of worship from his people. Dwelling place of the Most High. Well, I'd like to spend 1,000 days there too. How about you? Yeah, okay. So David relates to God in a very personal way. He isn't just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is a God that he loves, purposely loves, and purposely seeks out his friendship as the Lord does him as well. And that's why he likes to be there. It's a habitation, a place where we don't have to leave. When we leave here this morning, we don't have to leave a place of worship. We can leave in an attitude of worship in everything we do. And when we do what God wants us to do, it is a sacrifice of worship. There's many times when I was called into the hospital at 3:00 in the morning. Believe me, I knew it was a sacrifice of worship. And Garrett knows when he's called away, sometimes everything in his body, flesh, and mind says, "No way, this is crazy." But he learns. And over the years, he has learned that it's a sacrifice of worship. How else would they have promoted this guy? They saw something in him that others did not have. A willingness to go before God in a moment's notice when he is needed. When it's inconvenient, he's a friend. When it's inconvenient for us, we still need to be friends. And that's a good thing to remember. Reason I was late this morning is that there was a girl on the road and she was crying. We picked her up, right? Well, she's a street person for sure. She, you know, I could smell the smoke and whatever else. And she was lying as well. But she said she needed a ride to the pharmacy where probably she was going to do some more panhandling, whatever. And I gave her some resources, but she rejected the resources that I was giving her. But It isn't about what I expect in return. It's about who God is in me. We're supposed to be wise as serpents, right? But I think we're still supposed to be giving. Well, we are supposed to be giving. Never mind, I think, but. We are supposed to be giving. I knew a preacher once that he always says, it's kind of like, and he would go off, and it's not kind of like, it is. The proclamation of the Lord. The proclamation of the Lord goes forth, and it imparts his truth in our life. So you hear a lot of things over and over again in Fountain of Life from this pulpit, but it's the truth that goes out, and it brings forth fruit in your life to greater and greater measure, because we don't hold back. The Bible is the Bible, folks. That's it. We don't have another Bible. There is no other Bible coming. Not going to be rewritten. Well, Jesus expresses and communicates to us the nature of the Father in a multifaceted way. Every one of us are so different, and I want to make sure we understand that. We can't expect our friends to be like us. We don't really want them to be like us. Think about it for a minute. Duplicate yourself and everybody here and say, would you want to be here? I know I wouldn't. It's like, come on, if everybody was a clone of me, I'd say, okay, I'm going somewhere else. But we have the creative nature of God within our creation, us, that's multifaceted. It has so many wonderful things in it. As we were driving here this morning, this is the third day after the ice storm, second day, I don't know. But like, we're surrounded by diamonds, and every one of them are more pretty, more beautiful than diamonds we wear on our hand. It's like, whoa, God doesn't have to have carbon stones compressed and all that. There it is. The sunshine comes, and we're surrounded by its glory, and some of us don't even look at it. We just keep going until we find a tree in the road. And then we slow down. Multifaceted way God is expressed in us and in Jesus. Jesus is the end result of the communication between us and the Father, except for the Holy Spirit, which is the end communication for Jesus with us. There is not another coming. There's not going to be another Jesus. There's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another Bible. This is it. There's no New Age Bible that's going to make this go away. The popes and some of the Islam leaders signed a document just last month that they were starting a new religion called Christalom. And it was like, are you kidding me? This is signed by the Pope. Yeah. So I said, somebody forgot to give him the Bible? What's going on here? Kingdom of God. There is not going to be another kingdom. There is only one way to the Father, who is Jesus, who is our friend. That friendship is so vital to what we're doing. You know, we could have a God who isn't a friend. That's what Islam is. Have a God who isn't a friend. Would you want to go there? Not me. We could have a God who doesn't really want to reach out and touch us. But that's not me. I wouldn't want to do that. He wants to meet us in worship. He is resident here within us when we worship the Lord. Now, here comes the hard part. There will be a test of our friendship. Well, when have you ever had a friendship that wasn't tested? I'm a friend to my wife. Has our friendship ever been tested, honey? I think she's saying yes. My sister? Yes. My friends here present? Yeah, many times. Things don't go as well the way we want. And friendships will seemingly fail. But there's one friendship which will seemingly fail, which will not fail. Because we have faith that the Word of God is true. I mean, regardless of whatever we see in the circumstances, we know the Word of God is true. If you don't know the Word of God is true, please recommit your life to God. We walk by faith and not by sight or feelings. I had a big argument once with a brother We say, that's just not true. If I'm not feeling God, I'm going somewhere else. Well, maybe sometimes you don't feel God. Maybe there's going to be a day, a week, maybe even a month, maybe even a year when you don't really feel that goosebump feeling that you had in the beginning. If that were true, I think there would be a lot more divorces amongst us. You know, the average marriage only lasts about 8 or 9 years. That's very sad. I mean, think about it. Nobody was taught that you have to, like, stick it out. You have to have faith. You have to have Jesus in a marriage before you really get married to really make it work. That is, you have to have the friendship of Jesus in your marriage. When Cheryl and I have an argument, I know it never happens, but if that happens, I don't necessarily go to Cheryl. My first response is to go to the Lord. And she knows I do, because I come back and say, well, I made it through that part, but I didn't make it through this part, so I still need your prayer and help. And Jesus is helping me. Isn't that good? Now, when things go wrong, our normal mode of operation fails. Like last couple of days, we had over 12 hours without any power. Daphne and up in Andrew's house on 28 still doesn't have power. I don't think the Trogers have power. Do you guys? No, they don't have the internet either. So they're not on Zoom. So when those things happen, tempers get a little edgy. Is that true? Your car breaks down. I remember once. I could hear one of the cylinders on the van. And the push rod seemed like it was cracking. It was going click, 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 and more and more. As it was going up the hill, I said, this is not a good sound. Cheryl says, it's all right. We'll just trust God. I was so angry at her. How can you say that? This is like going to be bad. This is going to be really bad because we're up in Maine. The Lord knows what happens in Maine. All they have is blueberries everywhere. So we're in the middle of a blueberry patch, and the van finally goes. I said, that's it. We're done. We're toast. We're at least 40 miles from the nearest village. And the jets are practice up there because there's nobody around. So they're like flying 12 feet over the top of us. I said, this is really, really bad, honey. Within about 5 minutes, maybe 10, this guy shows up and says, what's wrong? I didn't flag him down or anything. I said, the engine's gone. And it was gone. So he said, try it again. I said, yeah, your engine's gone. I said, how would you know? He said, well, I used to fix vans in Boston. I was the supervisor of the Volkswagen place there. I'm now the sheriff of this county. And I have 3 spare Volkswagen engines at home. So let me tow you. You can stay over our house, and you can rent a car or another van while you go on your vacation. And by the time you get back, I'll have it fixed for you. I said, well, this is going to cost big bucks, $700 for a new engine, parts and labor. Well, it was really bad, but the Lord, my friend, intervened on our behalf, on my behalf, my family's behalf. And it was a lesson to me to know how much he loved me. Now, he isn't always going to rescue like that, but he may not rescue at all. But just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, whether he's going to rescue us or not, we will never bow down and worship you or any golden image or anything. Our life is committed to the Word of God and to carrying it out because we know, regardless of the circumstances, that Jesus loves us and he's my friend. Wouldn't you like to have a friend like that? Well, you do have. You do have. Well, let me tell you some ways that David drew upon his faith. He had, number one, a subjective prophetic voice within him that was not in conflict with the Word of God. He said, yes, I know this is true. Subjective, how do you know? I don't know. I'm just there. Donnie used to say, I know it in my knower. Number two, through circumstances that dictated a course of action that David would take, he knew the Lord God. It may be for good or evil in the eyes of man, but it was always for the good for David. through the law, the precepts of the word of the Lord, David constantly was talking about in Psalm 19, verse 7. It's not obeying the letter of the law. It's obeying what's behind the letter of the law, which is the love of his Father, the precepts of the Lord. In a New Testament sense, it is obeying the word of God as he speaks it to you, not a list of do's and don'ts. Number four, through the testimony and the circumstances of your own life and other people's testimony to you that encouraged David in times he needed encouragement. Whenever he would say, oh, where is God now? Woe is me. He looked upon what God had done for the nation of Israel and said, oh, he did this and he did that. How can I possibly doubt him? So testimony that you have in your life, you can draw upon. In the middle of the night, think back on the testimony of your life and the things that were good to you. Through song and worship and praise. You know, when you sing and worship the Lord, whether you feel like it or not, there's a supernatural intervention by the Holy Spirit. He can show you things there that he can't show you anywhere else. Don't you like that? Yeah. Number six, through the advice, Through the advice of friends, and this includes your wife, your spouse. Through the advice of others. Now, I've had people talk to me, and I would ignore their quote-unquote earthly wisdom at a drop of a hat. You know, like one supervisor came to me and says, I'll just look out for number one. Well, not biblical, sorry. Walk away. But there was another brother who would say, you know, maybe things aren't going well for you now, but it'll turn around. Just have the faith. And he probably doesn't even go to church. And I said, well, yeah, the advice of others. It was interesting that Bathsheba reminded David that Solomon was his son. He somehow forgot. He somehow forgot that he might be king. Who reminded David? David had forgotten, or at least didn't care. And who reminded him? His wife Bathsheba. So Bathsheba's role in the nation of Israel was not minor. She had influence. So there are going to be times when you'll get advice. Don't just ignore it. Number seven, and lastly, the voice of the prophets. And who else advised David? Nathan. So this is not the way to go. You have really gone the wrong direction, and you need to turn around. So don't ignore the prophetic ministry. Judge it, but don't ignore it. There's some prophets that prophesied over me that gave me such courage that I would never have had in the natural. But in the spirit, I do. Now listen to this. Walking by faith, I'm almost done actually, so let me just say this. Walking by faith means that sometimes we will not see God's intentions or hear his voice. That's what faith is. It's a hope. You know it's going to happen, but you don't see it. You don't even see God's intentions. You say, oh, how could God even be in this at all? I've been there. I had a supervisor for 6 years. It's an interesting number, who was egregious. He was terrible. He did everything wrong. I know because I was a supervisor later. I know what they train people. He never did anything right. The director of the hospital would come by and he'd say, how are you doing? And I'd say, well, the crow won't fly off the branch unless he sees a crocodile dive under the water, and then he doesn't know what's going to happen. So as long as I can see this guy, I'm all right. And he would just start laughing because he knew how bad things were, the director did. After the attorney general came into the hospital and they were going to do a source audit, and he left that day, never came back. They didn't even know where he went. So poor Peter, who was now the acting commander, had to show this inspector source documentation for everything. Now, if you know anything about laboratory service and quality controls and purchasing, you know having source documentation for everything is actually impossible. You can try to get to the 90, 95% level, but after that, there's some calculations that have to be made. So, for instance, how many needles do you use per month? Well, that's easy. All I have to do is go to the number of boxes that I bought. Oh, so you didn't count them. No, I didn't have to. It was calculated. I can see her writing in that black book now. right? After it was all done, it was 6 weeks of source documentation every day, trying to find something on this guy. She came up to me for an exit interview, and she says, Peter, you're doing a great job. I just want you to know that. But if you ever meet someone like this, here's an 800 number to call. I was naive in those days. And I tell you, if I met somebody like that, I would call that 800 number today. Because I know that I am myself, even in all the righteousness God has given to me, I'm not able always to overturn what the enemy's doing. I need help. Sometimes, and in those times, I did not see God's intentions or hear his voice in those issues. But after it was over, I sure did. I knew exactly what God was saying through all those years. And I will never forget that in this life or the one to come. We may feel distant, deserted, forgotten. But the mark of a Christian experience is the friendship, is that we behave independently of our feelings and act according to what we believe and know to be true. That is our faith. Amen. Amen. And our faith is this. We know what we know. We know that he is true. At least two things. We know that he, Jesus Christ, is true, and he will never fail us. That's our faith. Our faith isn't in faith. Our faith isn't just in our testimony and everything. Our faith is he is true, and he will never fail us. And that is born out of our real relationship with Jesus, not an artificial one, not somebody else's relationship with Jesus, not with your home group's relationship with Jesus, but your relationship with the Lord. Jesus says the sheep know his voice. We know him, and we know his voice too, right? We do. And something about a voice is really interesting. It can be very comforting. Your friend's voice can be very comforting. It's comforting for a child to hear the voice of their father saying, come here, son. Come here, daughter. I need to talk to you. And it may be they're not going to get a good word, but the voice itself is comforting. You know, your friend's voice is comforting too. I had a friendship with one of the realtors that works in Fishkill. He's still a pretty well-to-do realtor there, and he rents a lot of property down in Fishkill and Middletown, so he's very rich. But when he came to visit me, he was the son of a rich person. Now he's the person. Anyway, he liked to spend time with me and talk to me, and we would talk about, you know, managing people and influencing people and loving people. And he knew that I was a Christian, and they invited me for a Christmas party one year. That was just really awesome. We just, you know, a wonderful person to know. We had a distinctive voice. And so I called him up once, and after I'd left the practice for many years, and he says, you know, just the sound of your voice is comforting to me. Wow, the sound of my voice. One time I was walking in Manhattan in the VA there. A VA is a huge building. In fact, when you go to the penthouse, and that was usually where I went when we were doing the rewriting of the ministry to the homeless vets in New York City. I would go up there with a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and we would meet there. On the way up way to the elevator on the first floor, this doctor turns around, and he was talking with the other residents. He says, Peter Scott. And I looked at him and I said, who are you? Well, I recognize your voice because you were the one who was doing, when you were in the lab, you were doing the conference calls for grand rounds to all of the surgeons in the area. Everybody knows you. I recognize your voice. Well, it's not just your voice that people recognize. It's when you're a friend, you recognize everything about them. When I'm looking for Cheryl in a grocery store, it's no problem. I only need to see the walk or the gait of the person to be able to recognize them instantaneously. Also found that I'm kind of attracted to that color hair. And there's a lot of girls with that color hair these days in the supermarket. I was like, is that her? No. But as soon as they walk, I said, nope, not her. You hear their voice. What a wonderful thing. There was another time I was walking through the mall in Poughkeepsie, and this girl stops me and says, "Peter, who are you?" I said, "I'm Dr. Murthy. Don't you recognize me?" I said, "No, not really." He said, "Well, I'll recognize your walk anywhere." I said, "What?" Because you make friends, and you don't just make friends of the personality. You want to know everything about them. You identify with them. He is a part of me, and I'm a part of them. He would never desert me. And it's true, I would never desert her because she was a good doctor. And so we reacquainted ourselves and renewed our friendship. It was not a bad thing. It's a good thing to remind people that you were their friend. Well, a real relationship with Jesus is much the same way. We need to know the way he walks and talks. Now, we can't know him in the flesh, but we can know the Holy Spirit. And so when we hear the prophets prophesy, see if you can hear them. It'll come through loud and clear sometimes. Sometimes, maybe not, but a lot of times it does. We're to judge the prophetic word, aren't we? But when it comes forth so pure, it's really nice to hear the sound of our Lord. We are born in a relationship, and it is about the relationship that we have with Jesus, and we know him. Now, the outcome of all this friendship stuff isn't just, feeling good about ourselves and about each other, but there's a real outcome here. Our outcome with our friendship with Jesus is going to be that we have a friendship with one another that could not exist in the depth and the breadth that God wants it to be any other way. Remember, he said, the people in the world are going to look at the church and say, "Oh, look, we can see Jesus." No, they're going to say, "Look how they love one another." Do you think that's happening today? Well, I think it's happening here. I honestly do. I come Friday nights, and I say, "Why am I here?" Well, to worship the Lord, certainly to praise, but it's like they're my friends are there. I want to be with them. They comfort my soul. They comfort my spirit because there's something eternal in that friendship. Friendship isn't going away. It's born out of that friendship. In Matthew 16:7, it says, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the power they have set in the church." So we have a strength in the friendship that we have, not just in our prayers. You can pray all you want, but if our prayers are not based on the friendship and relationship we have in Christ and each other, they're going to be watered down, diluted, and not as effective. The key component is friendship. It says here in Revelations that they overcame, the overcomers. They overcame because they just knew the word of God. No. They overcame because of this and that. But no. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, that is, the work of the cross for sure, and the word of their testimony, that we share our lives together. So when Brad comes up, and when Tim comes up, and when Pat comes up, when anyone shares, in our home groups, we share the same kinds of things. We are becoming overcomers and have the ammunition to become overcomers. Without that, you're only half equipped. It's sad to say, but you can pray with all the dynamite you want, but without your brothers and sisters, it isn't going to be as effective. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, this was a hard teaching for me to give this morning because I know I fail. I said, "Lord, how can you have me teach this? If anything, I'm the worst friend to people. I don't seem to reach out enough. I don't seem to smile enough. I don't seem to be open enough." Well, the Lord knows that, and he knows your heart too. So if you purposed together with me this morning to be more of a friend, I will, and I'm sure you will too. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's the word of God that we look to for our instruction and not the words of men. Thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged by one another's voice because we can hear your voice even as we speak in our testimony and sharing the word in a prophetic word and in worship, the song that we sing before God. I pray, Lord God, that what you have created in our midst will be multifaceted. It won't be just another person, but it'll be a wonderful thing that happens between us, that our friendship will be, a new friendship will come in, and we'll say, whoa, look, another creation of God, another friend I can have. So we pray for those who are on the street and have no other understanding but to lie and to cheat and to deceive. And there's a lot of people out there that we don't even know because we haven't even turned that way. But there are people that in our own life, Lord God, that are just as lost. And they believe that they are forgotten. They believe that there is a God, but there's no getting to him. But we know there is a way because we have a friend who never has failed us. Never. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that this morning you have gone before us, each one. Lord, we pray for those who don't have power this morning, that you would give them power, that is electricity, the power of the Spirit too. We pray for those who don't have the internet, I'm one of them, that you would give them the internet so we could communicate one to another. We pray for your mercy, your grace, and above all, for your loving kindness. For we don't want just kindness, we want loving kindness from the Father's throne. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.